Frank Ferrante is here. He will be here June 11th as that guy, Groucho Marx. He will be playing at Club Zinzani at 32 West Randolph Street. And hello, Frank.
Mr. Dale, thank you for having me on. It makes me smile to hear Groucho sing Lydia, the tattooed lady.
I hear more than anything else in the world, he loved to sing. He would sing at a so-called drop of the hat. And he literally would drop a hat and want to sing. Is that true?
He loved it. I mean, you know, this was one of the great wordsmiths in comedy of all time, certainly in the last 100 years, which is almost, for me, it's an all time. And yes, he would have parties, and he loved Gilbert and Sullivan, and he would hand out librettos, and you know, Judy Garland would be there, and his fancy writer friends and fancy actor pals, and he would pretty much force them to sing along to Gilbert and Sullivan. But you know, he was a witty man, and Lydia has jokes within the lyrics. There's a funny lyric that it was not in the film At the Circus with his brothers Harpo and Chico. I love this lyric that he would sing during wartime. It was, Lydia, oh Lydia, say, have you met Lydia? Lydia, the tattooed lady. When she stands, the world grows littler. When she sits on Hitler.
Really? I never heard that before. Oh, yeah, my gosh.
His love of what he did was infectious to me, and I'm the same way. So, yes, he loved to sing, and I love to sing. There's about 10 songs in the show that I do.
All right, so here's my question for you, among many other questions that I have for you. By the way, if you have questions for the amazing Frank Ferrante, 312-981-7200, you can text or you can call. Questions about the Marx Brothers or about Frank or anything else you'd like. So, Frank, aside from those movies, great movies, he did a TV show, You Bet Your Life, right?
Correct.
Now, I've seen your show before, but I don't recall seeing the game show set. What was it, a duck that would come down? And when the duck came down, you'd win $100 or something like that. You said the secret word, and it would be a random word, something used around the house or something like that. And then the person would say, I don't know, chair, and ba-ba-ba-ba. And the duck would come down, and someone would win. And George Fenneman was the announcer for the game show. Here's what I'm getting to. I'm now applying for a job. If you need a George Fenneman, I'm there.
Steve, you're just wasting your breath, and that's no great loss either.
True.
You've got the job. You know, it's funny. I mean, think about this guy. The gig that Groucho had, he really was part of the zeitgeist of the 1950s. Show was on.
The what?
The zeitgeist. I mean, I'm breaking in my dollar words here for you.
What is that?
He was very much part of the 1950s with his TV show, You Bet Your Life.
Yeah.
So all of those, you know, the expression, say the secret word, and the secret word became known throughout the country. And you're right. It's like, welcome, welcome to You Bet Your Life. Say the secret word and divide an extra $100. It's a common word, something you see every day. And, of course, every week for 14 years, from 47 to 1961, George Fenneman, who was his the young, good-looking, straight man with the perfect haircut and the baritone voice, and every week for 14 years, introduced Groucho with this, ladies and gentlemen, and here he is, the one, the only, and the audience would scream, Groucho!
Yeah.
Bum, 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 bum.
Brought to you by...
You've got the gig. You could be my George Fenneman anytime.
I can even...
You're doing it right now, so thank you.
You're welcome. I can even do a DeSoto commercial for you if you like.
Please.
All right, so we have lots of calls for you. Let me take a few. Mark, sure. You're up first on WGN talking to Frank Ferrante.
Hi. I have a comment. I had read Harpo Marx's autobiography, Harpo Speaks, and in that, he says that the five brothers, because there were five brothers, were coined those names in Rockford, Illinois, in between a show that they were doing, Rockford, Illinois.
Well, I heard it was Galesburg, actually, and I played Galesburg at a hotel.
Yeah, Wikipedia said Galesburg, but in Harpo's book, it
really?
Literally says Yeah, it says Rockford, Illinois. But beside that, I wanted to throw that in. But I have a question. Have
yes,
you
sir.
Ever considered, out of the 30s again, Groucho and Chico did a radio stint for about a year called Flywheel, Shyster, and Flywheel. And I was wondering, would you ever consider redoing some of that? Because the tapes and all that, apparently there was only one tape made of that. And the rest were all lost?
Right. Well, they did a show, she said, Flywheel, Shyster, and Flywheel, which was a lot of the, had Nat Perrin and Arthur Sheikman, who wrote those some of those classic 1930s films for them. I would love to do it. It was done very successfully, Mark, on the BBC, on BBC Radio. Lately, a gentleman by the name of John Tefteller has found many of those episodes, and he's going to remaster them and put them out. He has a whole plan to put out the lost Marx Brothers recordings from 30s, 40s, 50s. So I would love to do it because, you know, you're a fan, I'm a fan. There's nothing funnier than Groucho Marx doing his thing. But, yes, I would love to do that. In the meantime, I'm happy to be still doing my, you know, the one-man show, An Evening with Groucho, which is on PBS still nationally. So if you get a chance, Mark, please check it out.
Or you could check out this guy, Frank Ferrante, at Club Zanzani, Teatro Zanzani, on June 11th, 32 West Randolph Street in Chicago. You've heard these lines, 500 times? And you and I are both laughing still.
Yes.
Were some of these Groucho, or was it solely the writers who did this?
He had tremendous writers. George S. Kaufman, who was considered, you know, one of the greatest playwrights of the 20th century, you know, wrote, you know, You Can't Take It With You, The Man Who Came to Dinner. The great wit. He was the dean of Broadway. He was like Neil Simon at his time. He had three Broadway shows running at the same time. So Kaufman and Riskin and S.J. Perlman, he had great writers, and they were brilliant. And people loved writing for Groucho because he had that great rhythm, that delivery that was so unique that we just heard. But he was, you know, of course, Groucho was a masterful ad-libber improv artist, which is what I try to communicate in the show, Steve, as you know, having seen it. You know, it has great Groucho songs, it's got stories, one-liners, but the joy for me is that a third of the show is audience work, crowd work, which is something I've been doing for decades. But, to answer your question, he had writers, but he was able to amend a joke. He can add to it, he would edit. It was phenomenal.
How could you, though, not be intimidated in some ways? Now, I want to hear your story because you actually did meet Groucho, as I recall, mm-hmm. one time, which you'll explain. But, all right, going on stage as Groucho Marx and being that funny? How can anybody not be intimidated, Frank, even you?
It's a bit of an audacious act, it is. I'm fortunate, Steve, as you know, to have done it now for 40 years. This is my 40th year doing the show professionally, and that's over 3,000 performances, over 500 cities, played it in New York, in London, two tours in Australia. I have three states left that I haven't played, and Chicago quite a bit over the last, you know, particularly last 6-7 years I've been part of the scene. It is, I think, because I've done it so often, and once you've done it in front of the family, which I did at age 22, when the show was a senior project prior, you know, to the touring I did and the big cities I played, I had to play it in front of Groucho's son and Groucho's daughter, who I invited to the USC campus to see my senior project. I performed the show in front of George S. Kaufman's writing partner, Maury Riskin, who was 89 at the time. He wrote Animal Crackers. He wrote A Night at the Opera with Kaufman. Hmm. So some of the you know, that night I was nauseous. I was this 22-year-old kid jumping around and hoping that I could make it through. And it was very successful, and I was hired right off of that performance in 1985 when Arthur was a great friend. But, you know, they say God is in the details. It's a lot of detail work. I love Groucho so much since the time I was, you know, for 50 years I've loved Groucho since I was a boy. And I fell in love, and I studied him. I'm always, you know, like any good performer, I'm always nervous before a show, whether it's a Groucho show or anything else. But, there's a responsibility. But I remember watching how he would smile. He did a dating game show in the late 60s with his daughter who was the bachelorette. And I just watched how he would sneeze, how he would grin, little things. And even the way he moved his hands, his daughter-in-law, Lois Marks, watched me play him as 85-year-old Groucho in New York. She says, Frank, I almost hate to tell you the detail of what you're doing because you'll be self-conscious. Just the way you move your fingers, your middle finger when he's 85 was exactly the way.
Wow.
The way he did it. Little things like that make you go, okay, maybe I'm on the right track. But for me, Steve, it's, you know, a lot of people don't know who he is, and a lot of people do. You know, a crowd over 50 will know him, and I'm interested in the younger crowd as much as anything these days. You don't have to know Groucho to appreciate the show because of the improv portion. So for me, I try to communicate just the madness, the crazy essence, and his ability to kibitz with a crowd, to work a crowd. And I think that's why I'm able to still do it, you know, 40 years later, to tell you the truth. But yes, it is intimidating. I don't want him to look bad. It's my job to make him look good and represent him. And I take it seriously because I think he was the funniest man, person the country has produced, which is in line of what Zanzani has been doing, which is really celebrating vaudeville and vaudevillians. That part of their show is very reminiscent of Marxian humor, that wild cabaret vaudeville style.
And there was one other Marx brother, according to Groucho, that didn't get enough credit. Listen to this. That happened to be from live television at the time, the last appearance that Margaret Dumont ever made. You probably know lots of stories about that, but Groucho later in life said he felt badly that she wasn't given enough credit. He also said that she had no idea what these jokes were really about.
It's interesting. I doubt that because she was in show business from the time she was a teenager. I think that's apocryphal. I think Groucho was always going for, you know, comic effect. But that show you just played was from 1965, 40 years after they first started working together. And she was 83 and he was 75 years old. And that was their last appearance together. She died before broadcast. It was the Hollywood Palace. But Dumont, for those who don't, you know, listeners who may not know, of course, was the high society matron, the woman, the person that embodied all things establishment. She was grand and grandiose and, you know, was the wealthy dowager. And Groucho was the outsider taking her down. And she was the best. She set up Groucho so beautifully in Duck Soup and in that at the opera. She was a champ at what she did. So I loved her. I watch her responses. She would just, and she worked with every great comedian too at the time, like W.C. Fields and Abbott Costello and so forth.
But, all right. So
yeah, Margaret Dumont, I can see her right now in the kitchen bending over a hot stove, but I can't see the stove. Jokes like that.
Exactly. All right. We only have like a minute here. Okay. Let's take this call from Carl. You've been waiting the longest. You're on WGN.
Hey, you guys saved the best for last. Hey, Frank, saw you when you were with Zanzani a year or two ago, and then subsequently saw you when you were on PBS WTTW here in Chicago about, probably last year or something like that. Enjoyed it immensely. Really loved it. And I'd like to come and see you next month. So,
Carl, thank you so much. It means so much to me.
Thank you, Carl.
Yeah, the Zanzani show is ongoing year-round. They're not going anywhere. And I'm part of this, Carl, I'm part of this series called Club Zanzani. Dina Martina will be there May 21st, who's one of the funniest person, has a huge following. Liv Warfield, June 25th, and I'll be there June 11th. So, Carl, come see me, and I really appreciate that support.
All right, that's June 11th. That you will be there, 32 West Randolph Street. So for those who have not seen the show, give us something, some insight to look for that you will only get here, right now, with Frank Ferrante on WGN.
Some insight?
Yes.
Oh, an insight. Well, I'll tell you, every show is different, so prepare for that. I like surprising people. There'll be new improv. And that I can guarantee you. Also, what's interesting to me, here's some insight that I haven't shared before, is that the Marx Brothers played all around where I'm playing at the Cambry, which is right next to the Niederlander. where the Dearborn restaurant is, used to be the Apollo, where the Marx Brothers played. Alsatia's, Daily Plaza, had multiple theaters on the site. So it's there are ghosts galore. And there's a lot of laughter still echoing through those streets on Dearborn and Randolph. And I can't wait to come back. I haven't been there for a couple of years in that tent, so I'm looking forward.
Well, Frank, you must know Chicago has its arms around you. A great big hug. We love you. We consider you a Chicagoan.
It's the highest honor. You bet your life.
You bet your life. There he goes. Frank Ferrante, we will see you on June 11th.
Thank you, Mr. Dale. I look forward.
Thank you. Hello, he must be going.